XXMuscle.com presents. Do you like sex? Do you like muscle? Of course you do. This is Sex and Muscle Radio with your host, Juan Romano and Dave Palumbo.
Welcome to another episode of Sex and Muscle Radio. I'm Dave Palumbo here with my co-host, compatriot, and troublemaker in crime, John Romano. We are in the studio, John, for our first Sex and Muscle Radio broadcast.
Yeah, I was just thinking, we have plenty of room here for, like, you know, a bed.
Yeah, or something. Too bad we couldn't bring our guest in here. This would have been real fun.
Like a swing, yeah. You know, makeshift plywood pillory.
Before we get to the topic at hand, or the guest at hand, I should say, I want to just mention something. Remember I mentioned the other day that on Valentine's Day I got nothing?
Yes, like me.
And, you know, today is my birthday, so, you know, I kind of was feeling bad, but I opened up my mailbox and I got one Valentine's Day card from Sasha.
Ooh,
so Sasha sent me a Valentine's Day card after she heard that I didn't receive one, so it's kind of a belated one. But
oh, that's nice.
Could have, I guess, doubled as a birthday card.
I still got nothing.
She's very thoughtful, so I want to thank Sasha out there.
I did buy my son Max one of those leftover hearts for 50% off at the supermarket.
So you bought your son a Valentine's.
Yeah, you know. How's your colon, by the way?
My colon's good. That's another show that could take hours to talk about. We'll talk about that again. Now, someone sent me an interesting email, and they said, the email went something like this: saw you coming out of a restaurant the other day. So I had to download the picture to see what they were talking about, and the restaurant was two, like, Japanese signal, Chinese symbols, or Chinese symbols, I should say, and it was Fat Cock.
That was K-O-K.
K-O-K, yeah, that was the name of the restaurant. So I thought that was pretty good. I thought that was a good segue into today's segment here on Sex and Muscle Radio, where we're going to be interviewing the beautiful Wicked Pictures contract contract porn star.
Wow. Athletic sex,
yeah. The one and only Jessica Drake. Welcome.
Hey.
Thanks for having me, you guys. And I'm sort of like a contract athlete for Wicked.
It's true. You are very athletic from what I've seen on video.
I have to be, and I'm pretty flexible, too.
I haven't seen anything, so you'll have to just describe it for me.
I've watched a couple of her movies before, takes.
I had no idea who she is, so you'll have to. This is all be a surprise for me.
Now, how do you get so flexible? Is that just by nature, or do you practice? Do you take, like, yoga and stuff like that?
Well, you know, I mean, flexibility is something that's always come really naturally to me, and I figured out pretty early on through experimenting sexually that I am really flexible, and I tend to incorporate that when I go and feature dance on the road. So I do these burlesque shows, and I can do the splits and back bends and all kinds of crazy things. And, I mean, I'm sure it helps that I work at it, but I was already like that. And I don't want to disappoint you guys, but I don't really do a lot of working out, although I do Pilates because I just really enjoy the whole process of, you know, working my whole body. But I'm not a big bodybuilder. I never have been, but I mean, I'm definitely open to suggestions.
But do you like bodybuilder men, like, as far as dating goes?
Well, you know what? I like a little bit of everything. I've definitely never turned down a guy because his muscles were too defined. I'll tell you that.
Right. Arnold said that. He goes, you know, the girl never told me she wouldn't have sex with me because my muscles were too big.
No, I actually, the person that I have in my life that is closest to me, although we're not romantically involved, is my bodyguard, and he's huge. His name is Barry, and he lives in Ohio. And I with Barry, when we're on the road, I inevitably see a lot of gyms, a lot of nutrition stores, and that sort of thing. But a lot of the time when we travel together, guys will come up and talk to him before they even come up and talk to me.
Probably gay, that's why. But I happen to know Barry very well. I'm a very good friend of Barry Burnett's.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so you have to mention to him that you came on our show, because Barry and I did Barry's diets for him. We used to hang out. I see him every year at the Arnold Classic in Ohio. So yeah. Great guy.
So, he's a really cool guy. Something that I find really funny about him, though, is that sometimes I don't realize how much You know, they say not to judge a book by its cover. I unintentionally have done that a lot and not realizing it, but like, for instance, with Barry, when we travel, I treat my bodyguards and my roadies really well, and when we're on a booking, I always make sure, of course, they have their very own hotel room because I don't want them snoring in my room, but I always take them for, like, we go for a massage, and, you know, if we can find one of those nice Asian happy ending massage parlors, I'm all for that.
Wow.
And I treat him really good. Like, I always take him
John
out
John needs
for,
a job. Yeah.
And I take him out for a big, nice steak dinner, and somewhere in there, I realized that Barry really likes Taco Bell, and I take him out for this really nice dinner, and he starts grumbling at me because he wants Taco Bell, and I'm like, you're a big, tough guy. You're awfully whiny. He whines a lot, and we'll be at the end of a booking, and he'll be telling me, I'm cold. I'm tired. You're keeping me up too late. Yeah, he's a riot. He's so much fun, but yeah, never judge a book by its cover, because he's a big, tough guy, and he's a whiner.
Now, if you're taking him for these fancy steak dinners and happy ending massages, what you must be making a lot of money on the road. What do you make on a typical appearance?
You know, I do pretty well. I get paid per show, and I can't really tell you exactly how much money I make a show, but if I were to decide to not do anything but feature dance, I could definitely survive on just feature dancing.
Wow.
But for me, though, a lot of the time I get asked what I prefer to do. Do I like making the movies, or do I like going out and dancing? And it's sort of like apples and oranges. I like them both very much. The good thing about feature dancing is not only do I get to perform, which is what I get the opportunity to do on camera too, but I also get to really come into contact with all the people that are watching my movies. And I think that that's really, nowadays, that's the important thing, because obviously, you, and I'm sure y'all know, you can absolutely download free clips of me on the internet. It is not hard to find
at
all.
Not at all.
Piracy is ripping our industry to shreds
right now. Music industry too.
That some of the bigger companies, I'm very fortunate to be with Wicked, I think some of the bigger companies are able to combat piracy. We hire special people so we can push through. But on my end, what I try to do is I try to offer fans interactivity. Like, I'm super personable. When you meet me in a club, whether I'm on stage, whether I'm selling DVDs, whether I'm taking a picture with you, I really connect with everybody out there that's my career, because if it wasn't for them, I mean, there is no me, there is no Jessica Drake, there is no porn star, you know, and I'm really, really appreciative for everything I've ever had the opportunity to do, and I really owe it to two things. To Wicked and to my fans.
I'd rather get a lap dance from you than watch one of your movies, to be honest with you, because that's a little more impersonal, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, a lot of people actually tell me that in the long run, and so what I end up doing at clubs, I mean, some of them already come to me having bought my DVDs in an adult store, just anticipating my featuring in their town, so that they have something to come and bring to me, like, look, this is mine from home, will you sign it for me? And then once I do that, they absolutely want that, they want to be able to say, look, I was right here with her, she was on my lap, I got a dance, we talked. So I kind of do a package deal for them, you know, special pricing if they buy a DVD and also a lap dance, or, you know, sometimes they just want me to hang out with them.
How much is a lap dance with Jessica Drake?
Honestly, they started, depending on the club and the situation, it's $100.
All right, that's wow. How many songs? One song? For one song?
It's generally for one song, but I never start at the beginning of a song and stop at the end of a song. What I usually do is just start kind of in the middle of the first song and then dance all the way through the next one. You know, I think it's only fair.
Sometimes you get a song and a half, John.
Well, those are abbreviated.
Yeah.
Those are abbreviated songs anyway. My good friend of mine is a DJ at a strip club, and those are not full length. So
absolutely, and it's not only that, but a lot of the time the clubs really affect my pricing more than fans will ever know, and it's very hard for me to turn down the guy that comes to me and says, hey, you know what, I don't have a lot of money, I'm a really big fan of yours, and he like name off a bunch of my movies, and he tells me I really want a lap dance, but I don't have, let's just say $100, but I have 80, or I have 85, or I have 96, or whatever. 9 times out of 10 I'm gonna be like, yeah, you know what, that's great,
what a sport you are, Jessica.
Did they come like with rolls of quarters and stuff? I mean,
well, you know, know what? I've never had shame, but I've definitely had people come to me and say, well, you know, here, there's a dollar here, and let me go borrow $10 off my buddy, and I've got another $5 in my sock. And
she doesn't take anything less than a $20 bill, I guarantee it, Josh.
So what do you do more of? Feature dancing on the road or films? What do you do more of? Film, movies, feature stuff on the road? Where are you most?
It's probably very close tie. With my contract with Wicked, I make 7 movies a year, plus I direct 5 movies a year that I can be, want to be. I usually split the difference. I'm in a couple, and I just direct a couple. And then when I feature dance, generally, I go out about once a month, so it's probably pretty close to the same thing. Sometimes movies take a lot longer to shoot. I've spent 2 or 3 weeks shooting a movie before, and obviously when I do a dance gig, it's a shorter booking. It can be 2, 3, maybe 4 days, but usually 2 or 3 days at a time.
And what do you prefer? Do you prefer movies, or do you prefer being out and doing feature dances?
Awesome. It's really, really close with me. I mean, movies, to me, when I'm making a movie, it definitely lasts a lot longer because that movie will sell for years to come. But when I dance, it just puts me on people's laps, you know?
You obviously like that, right?
Yeah, I love it. And that type of personal attention, I think, is really what's given me the longevity that my career has had. And for that, I'm super grateful.
What's the most famous person you ever gave a dance to?
You know, usually I don't talk about celebrities, but I'll tell you that there were 2 at the same event.
Tiger Woods.
You ever give Tiger Woods a dance? No?
No, and you know what? Even if I would have had anything at all to do with Tiger Woods, there's no way I would have spoken out on it.
You should have just lied and said you did.
You might as well jump on the bandwagon. I mean, come on, everybody else does.
She's too hot for Tiger. He doesn't like good-looking girls. You're very good-looking.
He likes waitresses.
He seems to have a type, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Trailer waitresses. Trailer park.
He really does, huh? Well, as far as famous people go, the only reason I'm going to mention these 2 names is because it was a pretty public place that I was at. I did a lap dance for, it's really funny, Bill Maher, and another one for Bob Saget.
I love Bill Maher. He's the greatest.
Yeah, was he high?
I don't think he was
definitely
high.
He's usually stoned. Yeah.
I think he had a drink in his hand, and Bob Saget had a really big cigar, and he's Bob Saget. I grew up watching him. And
on that show. He's the dirtiest guy you've ever seen, right?
Yes. Yes. He really is. I was astounded. I was like, whoa, that was just
like
crazy.
America's Funniest Videos, right. He does. And then you ever hear his act, he's like, pervert. The worst, dirtiest guy you've ever heard.
Good for him. So was Red Fox. Remember him?
What kind of a tip did they give you?
You know what? What I was doing for them, I was actually dancing at Tom Arnold's bachelor party. This was many years ago. And so it was sort of all-inclusive, but I can tell you that the group that they had put together of guys was one of the nicest groups of guys ever. Like, and Tom Arnold was nothing but respectful. At the end of the night, because it was a really long time ago. It was in the very, very beginning of my career. I was name, or nobody knew who I was or anything like that, but I had made some movies, and I had given a bunch of pictures and posters and magazines to Arnold, and he was just the sweetest thing about it all. He was like, thank you so much, you know, for coming out, and he wasn't wasted or anything like that, and at the end of the night, he wasn't propositioning any of the dancers or the strippers that were there. He got in his car and drove away, and I mean, that's kind of rare.
Let me ask you a question. I know Arnold Schwarzenegger is a big Tom Arnold friend. Was he there at that party?
I didn't see Arnold there.
You didn't see Arnold there. What about Howard Stern? Was he there?
I've met Howard Stern, but not there. Howard's always been really cool with me.
Did you give him a dance?
I'm sorry?
Have you ever given Howard Stern a dance?
No, I haven't, but if I went on the show, I would.
You would?
How, you talk about longevity and the length of your career and everything. Can you mind telling us how old you are and how long your career has spanned?
Don't you know you don't ask questions like that? What are you, a moron?
Why not? We ask anything on this show.
I'm asking her if she's giving a lap dance to Howard Stern. You want to ask her how old she is?
I want to know how long her career is.
Was there something?
Dude, that's your department.
I'm in my lower 30s, and I don't mind talking about it. I came into the adult industry when I was 23, 24 years old.
So about 10 years.
Yes. I was just inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Wow, 33. She's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and I don't think that I have any kind of a problem with my age at all. I don't normally put it out there because I've found that a lot of people are like, oh my God, how, it's 30 years old and you're just done. But I didn't really come into my sexuality, no pun intended, I didn't really come into my sexuality until I was at least 28, 29, you know, and that's also at the point that my movies got a lot more experimental because I became very aware and very in touch with a lot of the stuff that I really like and enjoy. And I think I've always enjoyed that particular kind of sex. It's just that I was never comfortable enough with myself to really talk about it. And to me, the business got a lot easier the closer I got to 30.
What kind of sex, Jessica, are we talking about here now? This experimental sex?
I'm into rough sex. I'm into definitely more aggressive sex. I like, just a little bit more extreme sex than
such. Yeah, give us an example. Like what? What's rough?
Do you like to get smacked? Do you like your hair pulled? What do you like to do?
Yeah, both of those for sure. I mean, I don't know how far you want me to go.
As far as you can. As far as you can say anything you want here.
Okay, no censorship. Well, some of my favorite scenes have been orgy scenes and scenes with multiple guys. And even though the company that I work for is, we're really high end, big budget, beautiful locations, great costuming, you know, actually good scripts as opposed to easy porno dialogue that the public has come to expect. But my specialty in doing all of that, I love the acting, but when it's time to have sex, I throw myself into the sex scene so much that I forget there are cameras.
Really?
And I think one of the greatest things about only doing 7 movies a year is that I'm not getting burnt out. Like, I'm not having sex on camera on a daily or a weekly basis.
Right.
So it doesn't really get old to me, and it's something that I'm being very selective about who I'm doing it with, and I can pretty much control the situation. Like, I wanted to do a scene with multiple guys, but I was afraid to say, you know what, I really want to bang 3 guys or 4 guys or 5 guys. So what I tried instead was a blow bang. I did a blow bang first, and it was with 4 guys, and it won an award. That did a couple of things for me. Not only did I say, hey, I did this type of a scene, and I really enjoyed myself, I also won an award for it. I was like, well, you can't get much better than that.
Now, the award when you won the award, was it because of the amount of guys you blew or because of the way you blew them?
Both.
That's got to be one of the best questions I've ever been
really
asked.
I'm a good question answer.
It's a very good question. I won AVN's award for best oral sex scene film. So basically what that means is out of all the blowjob scenes that were nominated that year, I took home the best one. And it was just 4 guys, so it wasn't like it was insanely crazy or anything like that, but it was just a really solid scene. And I think that there was also an element of surprise. Not everyone suspects that I do those types of scenes because I'm with a big company.
Right.
So, and I think they think that contract girls kind of give up on that edgy sex, which is totally not true.
So when you say orgy, you mean gangbang? She's talking about oral. Well, orgy would insinuate there's other girls there
having
sex.
I'm
talking about in general. She's talking about likes, what she mentioned before, was that you were into orgy scenes.
I have more questions on the blowjob.
I'm not done. You mind if I ask a question? Jeez.
Don't change the subject.
Let me go out in the parking lot for a while. I'll come back later. You know,
kicking them to the curb.
I know. God.
Orgies do have other girls in them. I love orgy scenes because there are only so many ways I can occupy a guy.
Or several.
Well, yeah, I can think of 3, 4.
Well, so you do DP, you do the whole thing.
I've done, strangely enough, another good question. I've done 2 DPs in my career that have been with guys. I've done other DPs that have been with a guy and a girl. The girl was wearing a strap on. I've done DPs with girls using toys, but with guys. DPs, and both of them have won awards. Both of the DP sex scenes have won awards.
Do you do black guys too?
It's not something something that I've done yet, but it's not something that I'm saying that I'm not going to do.
So now, what were the names of those films, that, those DP films that got awards? I need some spank material for later.
Nice. And you know what? I can make sure that you guys get a box of treats, too.
Wow, there we go.
The first one is called... and I can do that for you. The first one is called Fallen. And I think that Fallen is by far the best movie I've ever done. Out of 11 sex scenes, I'm in 8 of them. I won my third Avian Best Actress for Fallen. That's where I did my first DP with guys, and it actually takes place within an orgy scene.
Wow.
But I basically set out to bang everybody in that room, and I did it.
Good for you.
But we did, I mean, aside from the fact that it's got amazingly strong sex, that I mean, I really pushed myself in that movie, and I did a little bit of everything. Some other things that Fallen really accomplished was we shot some of the biggest stuff that we've ever shot. I mean, I was the co-pilot of a little two-seater Cessna airplane. I jumped off of a two-story building. They strapped me to the top of a taxi cab and drove me all over downtown LA on the roof of a cab.
Cool.
I was riding elevator shafts and everybody else's shaft in the movie as well. We really went outside the box for this movie, and I'll make sure that you guys get a copy of it. And the other one that I did a DP in was our big movie for this year called 2040. And 2040 is a sci-fi movie, and the cool thing we did with 2040 is we did things like we landed a helicopter on the roof of the building that we were shooting at in downtown LA. We had a lot of really crazy locations and robots and sex droids, and we made a collaboration with Real Doll, and we had all of their dolls out there, and now we're actually doing Wicked Girl Real Dolls as well as a result of 2040.
Really?
And I did another DP in the orgy scene in 2040, and it won the award for best group sex scene at Avian.
Let me ask you a weird question. When you do these DP scenes or any kind of anal scene, what kind of preparation you have to do before that? Because you have to do like enemas, you have to like lube yourself. I mean, I know our listeners out there are wondering, like, you don't just go in and do this stuff, right? Cold?
You know, I do just go in and do it. But that being said, not every girl can do that. And the reason that I think I can is I'm really, really in touch with my body. And I had anal sex before I got into this business, and it was something that I really enjoyed. Obviously, there is a possibility of things happening with anal sex. I've been very fortunate, and I've never had a disaster on camera. And the girls that I have worked with that have had a problem have not done enemas correctly. And even if they're done correctly, it just seems to present a bit more of a problem than it ever really protects against. Although there are girls that have it down to a system, they don't eat anything the day before, they don't eat anything that morning, and I can't do that. Like, I eat. I love my food.
It's like our fast, John, we're doing.
I kind of watch what I eat, maybe. You know, like, I won't eat anything that's going to make me feel too bloated or make me feel sick to my stomach or anything like that. But I'm also not obligated by my contract to perform any specific number of anal scenes.
Right.
So if I'm on the set of a movie, the only way I'm doing an anal scene is, or a DP or whatever, is if I'm turned on enough to do it.
Gotcha.
I don't have to do anything.
What's a typical disaster? You mentioned the word disaster. What could happen on the
set? Come on, are you serious?
I want to know.
I'll give you one guess.
Quiet down. There's inquisitive minds out there.
I've definitely, and I won't name names, but I've been on the set with a girl that had no idea what she was doing, and we had a serious leakage problem.
Really?
Wow. And it happened so bad and so quickly that the director actually started gagging and had to leave the set.
Now, what happens? Do you get banged in the butt, and all of a sudden you just have to release something? Is that what happens?
I think it just kind of starts leaking everywhere.
Really?
Wow.
Imagine drinking a quart of salt water, Dave.
Because it's not happened to me on set, knock on wood.
Are there guys that, you know, like when you're in these scenes, do you just kind of determine, you know, who's going to do what? Is there like a guy that you would say, wow, I really want him to bang me in the ass, or, you know, I want to do DP with those two guys, but not these two guys? So do you have like a sort of like a preference to who you work with and how you work with them?
Definitely. I have a very short list of people that I work with, and there are some guys that will never make my list. There are some guys that are only on my list to do blowjobs with, because I'm a little, I don't want to say shallow on the inside, but I can be tender in certain positions, and I need a guy that's more of an average size, because I can do a lot more of the type of sex that I enjoy with a guy with an average size cock, as opposed to somebody that's super hung.
Like huge guys, then, is what you're saying?
I don't really. I really don't.
Have you ever had sex with Ron Jeremy?
No.
He's on your no list?
No. I mean, a couple things here. I don't want to have sex with Ron Jeremy because I'm not physically attracted to him, but I like him as a person and we're good friends.
Right.
And I think the fact that we're friends would also make it really awkward to have sex with him.
Who is that porn star we had on the show not long ago that has a no Ron Jeremy clause in her contract?
A lot of women do, right?
I think that people have more control over who they work with than some of y'all might think. And I think that a lot of girls aren't even aware that he still works. I don't think he has sex a lot in movies.
He's a producer now, a director more than, than an actor, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Today.
Yeah.
What are you, his agent?
No, I just happen to, know a little bit about the guy.
Yeah. Do you admire him?
Well, if we're going to diss him, I might as well know. Yeah, I do actually admire him. He's a gazillionaire. He gets to bang every hot babe in the industry and, just to wear shirts that say porn star.
He is a pretty cool guy. He's been everywhere because of this business. He's been really, really smart with his money. And, some guys look at him and they're like, I could totally do that. Look, that's Ron Jeremy banging chicks. I could totally do that. So I think he's a great inspiration for people.
I have a friend, I'm not going to mention who it is. He's a bodybuilder. And we were at a show in South Beach, and this female bodybuilder was giving him a blowjob. And she looked up, and I don't know why she did this. She stopped and she's like, I've given Ron Jeremy a blowjob before. When she said that to him, the guy just lost his erection, and that was the end of the encounter. But I always ask whenever you have a porn star on the show, I always ask him about Ron Jeremy.
Oh my God.
That's a buzzkill, huh?
Now, for all those guys out there that think, I can do that, and it's actually very difficult for guys to be porn stars, isn't it?
Well, it's difficult in a couple of ways. I think it's difficult, first of all, for them to even break into the business to begin with. I mean, the industry, on so many different levels, the industry is super competitive. And as far as women go, obviously, we always want the next hot chick to come through the doors. We're always waiting. But I think where guys are concerned, there's not as much of a following of the guys that are in the business. And so it doesn't matter if we keep on using the same guys over and over and over again.
No one's even watching them anyway.
Because I know who I work with, and I'm pretty set in my ways, and I know when a new guy comes into the business, I have to really know a lot about him before I'm going to have sex with him. I have to see him work with another person. I have to see how his attitude is. I have to kind of get some sort of idea about his personal life. I'm not saying I have to date him or anything like that. That would be ridiculous. But especially if they're married, or if they have a girlfriend and they're in a pretty solid relationship, it makes me like them a lot more, because I don't go to work to date. I go to work to have really good sex and then say thank you and then go home. And I think some guys, especially some of the newer ones now, they're like, yeah, I'm cool. I'm going to get into porn. I'm going to go pick up some girls. And they want to be with you after the fact.
Right.
And you're like, no, we were just working. We did have great sex and I absolutely got off, but now it's time to go home and I don't want you to call me or MySpace me or tweet me or Facebook me.
Why would anyone want more than that? I mean, that sounds like a perfect
She's hot.
You go, come on, it's the perfect arrangement. You have sex with her, you go home, and that's it.
I think a lot of these male porn stars have shitty relationships because they what girl is going to, a normal girl that's not in the industry is going to want to date them?
I think Jessica has the right attitude.
Yeah, but Jessica could probably get any guy. Even
she doesn't need any guy. She's got all the ones she wants.
Well, do you date regular guys that are not in the industry?
I tried. I was married for a while in the very beginning of my career to somebody that was in the adult industry, and it worked out horribly.
Really?
And it was a really bad divorce, and it was very expensive for me to get out of. And so I said I would never do it again. I meant I would never get married again, and I would also never date anybody in the industry again. So for about maybe 2 or 3 months, I tried to date civilians. And inevitably, one of a couple of things would happen. The conversation would be pretty cool at first, and then I would feel obligated to tell them, of course, to tell them what I did for a living. And my problem at first with one guy was that the fact that he thought it was really cool, and he was fine with it, but the second we got a little bit closer to each other, he was very jealous about it. And I was like, whoa, 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 this is what I've done for X number of years, and you're brand new to my situation, so let me tell you at this point what means more to me. You are my career. It's going to be my career.
Plus, you were making probably 10, 20 times what he was making a year, I'm sure.
I'll guarantee you I am. But then the other thing that happened, but not that I need to date a guy that makes a lot more money than me either.
No, but he's not going to make you stop working. It's not like the guy's worth, like, right. Donald Trump. He's going to say, you know what, honey, don't work anymore because I got plenty of money, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. And the other thing that happened to me, see, I didn't even seriously date these two guys, but I was kind of dating these two guys, not at the same time, but I met another guy. We went out a few times, and I don't have sex on the first date. First of all, I'm a horrible dater. I do not like dating. I'm strictly long-term. But in between my marriage and the relationship that I'm in right now, I mean, I had to do something, you know, and I didn't think I wanted anybody in the business. So the second guy. So I meet this other guy, and we go out a couple of times, and we have not yet had sex. But we're really, like, it feels like we've got chemistry. You know, we've fooled around. We've made out a little bit. We seem to like the same things, and I know that before I slept with him, I was going to have the conversation about what I did for a living, and I got all worked up about it. You know, it made me really nervous to have this conversation with somebody else and not knowing how he was going to react to it. So we went out for dinner, and we were going to go out a little bit longer, and I said, you know what? We're sitting there after dinner, and I go, I've got to be really honest with you. I like you a lot. We're hitting it off, but before I sleep with you, I have to tell you that I'm in the adult business. I'm under contract with Wicked Pictures. You know, my name is Jessica Drake, and, you know, I just think it's fair to you, full disclosure. And he was like, oh, I knew who you were the moment I laid eyes on you. I've seen this movie. I've watched that movie. I've watched that movie. And I'm like, wow, so is this somebody that's really interested in me for me, or is this a fan that just got incredibly lucky?
Yeah. Which was it?
I didn't sleep with him. I don't know.
Oh, really? You cut it off? Really? He blew it. He should have played dumb. He should have been like, really? I can't believe it. That's fun. You know, but I like you so much that I guess I can learn to deal with that. That would have been the right answer. He would have gotten laid.
So you stopped dating him because he knew who you were?
I stopped dating him because he was so into me as Jessica Drake.
Freaked out, yeah.
But no. But he didn't tell me before I brought it up. If he would have told me the first couple of times that we met, it would have been completely different because I could have dealt with it. I mean, in some way, because I liked
him. Well, maybe he wouldn't want to come off as like a fan, you know what I mean? Then you kind of threw it in his face. So he's like, well, you know, to be honest with you, yeah, I did know who you were, you know, and this and that. So I mean,
but it wasn't like that. Oh no, it wasn't like
that. Oh, he was like a freaky fan, like, you know. Yeah.
Oh yeah. He had all my movies.
Oh yeah, that's pretty bad.
That's a stalker.
So I mean, I'm sure when I talked to him at the, because I met him at a club in Hollywood, which I'm sure was another mistake.
Sure.
And when I walked up to him, I can't imagine what was going through his head. You know what I mean? Like I just can't even imagine his first couple of thoughts. But so now, fast forward to now, I've been in the same relationship for 6 years, and we don't really go on record and talk about it, and I'm not getting married again, but it is by far the best relationship, not that I've been in since I've been in the industry, but that I've ever
He's an industry guy, this guy?
He is affiliated with the adult industry, but he's not strictly talent. He's not strictly a performer. And he encourages me to fulfill all of my fantasies with partners of my choosing.
Really?
And we're swingers, but kind of, that's not exactly the right term for it. Mm-hmm. Because we don't go to swinger parties and swap. Right. That's not exactly what we do, but I mean, we're just really open sexually, and if we want to have a girl over, or if we want to have a particular couple over, you know, and then swap like that, swap under those terms, then that's what we do.
You do it in front of each other. In other words, if you happen to see a hot girl, you'll bring her home to share with your man.
And yeah, and not only that, but I'm completely fine with him having types of sex with other people. I'm really weird when it comes to things like that. A lot of people don't really agree with the way that I see things, but to me it's like this. I'm fine with him having sex with other people as long as he's communicating with me. Mm-hmm. There's got to be some kind of openness, some kind of honesty and communication and trust. The second he goes behind my back, that's when we have a huge problem and I'm done.
Right.
And I would have more of a problem if he was trying to take someone out on a date than if he were getting a blowjob from them.
Okay, I got it. It's like this. I mean, and you guys have to have different rules because of obviously the business you're in. It's just, I mean, you can't date a normal person who's not in this industry, because they would never understand. I would never be able to, you know, as sexy and hot as it sounds, you know, to date a porn star. Someone like myself could never handle it because it's just too freaky for us. But if I was in the industry, then it wouldn't matter probably to me.
Yeah, and I think it's not fair for whoever it is that's coming into the relationship that has no experience in the adult industry for them to be put in a type of an awkward situation like that. Because, I mean, obviously, a lot of people have some ideas of what the industry is like if they don't know. I mean, I did before I got in, and I'm sure how awkward must it be, say you're a regular guy and you're trying to date a girl that's in the industry and you're asked to go to an industry function and you don't really know exactly what goes on at work and you don't really understand how it is.
Right.
Are you going to be able to walk into that party imagining that she's had sex with everyone in the room? chances are she hasn't, you know. Like, I have, in this whole business, in 10 years of me being in this business, off camera, I've had sex with 4 guys.
Wow.
One of which I'm with right now, one of which I was married to, and 2 guys that I've done a little bit of swapping with. That's it.
Mm.
That's all.
Go ahead, John. What about down the road? I mean, do you ever look, like, you know, deep into your future, you know, maybe, you know, 10, 20 years from now? Do you find yourself out of the business? I mean, eventually one day you're going to be out of the business. Do you find yourself at that point, you know, looking for, you know, a different kind of guy, one who doesn't know your past? Or is this something that's going to be with you, you know, forever?
Well, here's the deal with that. I don't think that it would be that easy to completely deny my past. I think that if you get involved with someone, they're going to essentially know a lot of things that have happened in your past. And I've been in the adult industry for 10 years. So if I were to be with someone at even 20 years down the line, there's this thing about missing a 10-year gap in my life that I'm not going to be able to explain.
Right.
But not only that, I think, or I would like to think anyway, that I've made a slightly bigger mark on the adult industry than just being in some DVDs. I have some endorsement things going on. I've got an adult toy line. I have a lot of product with my name and likeness on it. And even in my transition away from the camera, which is hopefully not anytime soon, you know, I mean, I'm going to stick around until gravity takes over.
And then you'll go to the plastic surgeon and make it last a little longer, right?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'll cross that bridge when I come to it.
You have fake boobs, though, right? You've gone to the plastic surgeon.
That's the only thing I've done. I got my boobs done when I was really young, before I ever got into the industry. And then when I got into the industry, I had them done again to correct a problem. And then about 4 years ago, I got the bright idea that I wanted them bigger. So I had them done again, super big. I was like a big double D. And you know what? Big boobs just were not for me.
Yeah.
So I had them reduced, and now I'm back to, like, just a normal, a regular normal size. But, I mean, even in that transition away from the camera, I expect to always be somewhat affiliated with the adult industry. And so I really, I can't imagine, I mean, who knows what's going to happen in my current relationship, but I can't really imagine ever seeking out someone that I'm going to hide things from, because honesty is so important in a relationship to me. Sure. That they would have to know, even if I was not still active in the adult industry, I would have to tell them, because what if I kept that from them, and what if one day they found out for some strange way they found out, even if I looked completely different, even if I completely removed myself from the situation and lived somewhere in the Midwest and, you know, we didn't have TV or internet or anything like that, but what if they found out? Like, how does that make me look, really? Not only would they think, oh my God, I can't believe you did porn, but they would say, why did you hide it from me? You must feel very ashamed about it or regret it. And I don't have any regrets. Like, I'm proud of everything I've done, and I'm really satisfied. So,
well, having said that, obviously, when you decided to do this, you knew you were going to be, you know, somewhat of a, you know, a presence in this industry. People are going to know who you were. Was there a point in time where you consciously traded off the fact that you knew that, look, me doing this is going to close the door on, you know, many possibilities down the road where maybe you're limiting your options, or, you know, there had to have been some conscious trade-off for accepting this position in your industry versus your life down the road where, you know, maybe, you know, this certain kind of guy is never going to be in your future. Have you ever presented it to yourself that way?
Well, you know, I think that I, unlike a lot of girls, especially nowadays, as they're getting in the industry, when I got in, I made a very deliberate choice. I made a very well-informed choice. I actually had a great group of people that I was introduced to when I first got into the business. And, I mean, here's the deal. Once you do it, it's done. You can't take it back. I was never rushed into making a decision. I didn't wake up one day and go, you know what? I'm going to run out to L.A. and do porn. I'm from Texas. I was going to college, and I was basically stripping my way through college, and I was seeing these feature entertainers come through the club, and some of them were really bad, and some of them were in really bad shape, and some of them were messed up on drugs, and I was like, well, these girls have all this fame and notoriety, and they're making good money. They're kind of a mess. I think I can do that and do it better, you know, and actually enjoy what I'm doing and do these cool shows and make a lot of money. I made some phone calls, and that's how I ended up meeting the people that I met.
I don't mean to cut you off yet. I got to ask you this question because I'm sure our listeners are thinking the same thing. What does made you decide? I know you say you stripped your way through college, and that's good and all, but not every girl does that, obviously, you know, and the option is out there for a lot of good-looking girls. What made you decide, you know, looking the way you do, obviously, you had to be, you know, in the top 98% of girls. What made you say, you know what, I'm going to take my clothes off to make extra money? I mean, something that you had to...
I'll tell you one thing. I didn't always look the way I look right now. I don't know really how to explain it. It's not like I've had any seriously altering plastic surgery. I grew up really awkward. Always wore glasses. I've always been super skinny. I always got picked on. I never had boobs. And it's not like it was really immediately presented to me that, oh my God, you're a beautiful girl, you can do anything you want. I was kind of bookwormish, and it really, honestly, what happened was I needed money, and I was going through the newspaper, as always, looking in the classifieds, like I had done many times before, thinking, oh my God, what is there out there that I can do? And I saw an ad for a club in San Antonio that was looking for cocktail waitresses, and I knew that it was a gentleman's club. I didn't know what that entailed, really. I had no idea. I went to go and talk to them, and the manager took one look at me, even with my glasses on, and he was like, you know, I don't think I'm going to hire you as a waitress. And my heart just sank. And he goes, but I think I would like to audition you as a dancer because you have this look about you, and I think we should go get your hair done, and you know, you introduce you to our makeup artist. It was one of those types of clubs.
So you got like a full makeover. Is that the idea?
But I did. And he had this woman who was very motherly. He had her do my hair and my makeup, and they had a boutique club of dance wear and lingerie. And so it was almost like an ugly duckling transformation. Mm-hmm. And that's how I was introduced to dancing. And the club I was working at in San Antonio was like a country club. They had a steakhouse and big crystal chandeliers and candles on all the tables, and all the girls wore gowns, and it was just so beautiful. It was very easy for me to do that. And I was comfortable on stage from day one. From the night that he put me up there to audition me, I had no problem doing it at all. So in doing that, it made me very comfortable dancing my way through school. Things got too hard, I would lower my course load and take 3 classes a semester instead of going full time. And I was dancing, you know, I was pretty comfortable. I lived pretty comfortably.
What's your degree in college?
Well, first of all, I don't have a degree, but I was a psych major. And what happened to me, perfect for your business. But what happened to me was I started going through some really hard classes in psychology, and I had done. First, I was a liberal arts major because I didn't know what I wanted to do. So within getting my basics out of the way, I ended up taking an introduction to psychology class. And I was like, oh, wow, that's really cool. I really like it a lot, not knowing that I would need a master's to ever do anything in it, really. So I changed my major. So then I was a psych major. And I took intro, I took behavioral, I took psych adjustment, I took abnormal, and then I hit statistics, and at the same time as I hit statistics, I started having to take other math classes in college. So basically, everything just got hard for me about 3 years into it, maybe 2.5 years into it. Things started getting really hard for me, and my classes were earlier, I had more homework, I had to study longer, and coincidentally, at the same exact time, I started meeting these people that were in the adult industry, and I started talking to them, and no pressure was put, like, not.
So you were basically making more money than the professors that were teaching you in college, and you're like, you know what, this stuff is not for me. I'm going to go where the money is. I mean, basically, correct?
I don't think I did that deliberately. I think more than anything, I was way out, and it wasn't even based strictly on the amount of money I either was making or was not making. I just saw this opportunity to explore different things, and I think I was restless. I think I was in a rut. I think I was really challenged by some of the classes that I was in. So I came out to LA and I met some people, and I didn't do porn right away. I did magazines by myself. Mm-hmm. I did softcore.
It's like, which magazines?
Which magazines did I not do? I've done them all.
Really?
Fleur High Society, Gent, Genesis, Leg World, Taboo, I mean, Club International.
Did you do explicit type stuff in those magazines?
Not at first, although it came to that, but not at first. It was just, you know, pretty solo girl stuff and, you know, posing. And I did movies for HBO, Cinemax, Showtime, all that softcore.
What was
stuff.
Like the most famous thing that you were in that, like, people might recognize you from, you know, in that sense?
Oh, my goodness.
Like, what's your most famous thing you've ever done in your mind?
Oh, God, there's so many things, really. I hosted the Avian Awards in 2007. I've been on the red carpet for the Grammys a couple of times.
Really?
It actually got me on David Letterman.
You were on Letterman?
Yeah, not as a guest. He just featured me on a segment. Okay. I didn't sit on his couch, but I was absolutely, like, on the TV screen, and he was talking about me. Mm-hmm. I did the Tyra Banks show. I've done a lot of stuff. I've traveled seriously all over this world. A couple months ago, I was in South Africa, right after Paris. I travel, you know, of course, within the United States.
Did you go to Haiti to do volunteer work?
Do you know what's so funny? I'm going to Cambodia in April for Habitat for Humanity.
Wow, that's impressive. You see, I like to, people don't know this about you.
Habitat for Humanity.
People don't want to know that about her. They want to know about your first sex scene.
No, they do. Everybody that knows me knows that that lately I've been using a lot of the social networking sites to do a lot of charity work, because I do charity work in my personal life all the time, but I finally found a way to incorporate Twitter and Facebook and MySpace to have people help me out with it, and they really enjoy helping me. I did a marathon for breast cancer last year. I do all kinds of stuff.
That's great. Let's talk about your first sex scene. Who was that with, and what did you do?
Good. Back to the sex.
This is the Sex and Muscle Radio, not Philanthropy International. So, you did your first sex scene when? What was that like? Describe it. Actually, it's got to be, and I know that a lot of women listen to this show. There had to have been a lot of things going through your mind when you're actually on camera getting to do your first, sex scene. So, kind of describe that.
Well, I remember it really well, even though it was almost 10 years ago. I had chosen the person that I was working with. His name was Alec Metro, and I had been around him quite a bit before.
Not TJ Cummings, was it?
I'm sorry?
You never did a sex scene with TJ Cummings, did you?
TJ has been in one of the sex scenes that I've done before. He's a friend of mine, though.
Well, I'm so glad you finally mentioned me, Jessica. I'm actually in the studio here, right? Was just waiting for the point where you would bring me up. By the way, tell them about the time you wore that strap on and you offered me a scene and I refused.
I take it you have done a scene with TJ Cummings.
He was
no, we have not.
No, we haven't, but he was on the show for a little while at the beginning.
We
actually
know him. He's one of us.
He's a bodybuilder, so.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
does he like stalk you a little bit, maybe?
Try to take you to dinner, sweet talk you a little bit?
No,
try to get you for a ride in his car? No?
No, I just directed a movie, and TJ was one of my leads.
So. Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, cool. No, he's a good guy. He's
all right, let's go back to the sex scene.
Back to the sex, you guys. Come on.
My partner here loves segueing away from my questions.
So I chose Alec Metro. I did a movie called Modern Love, and I was on the set, and before we do a sex scene, we take pretty girl pictures, and we're wearing the outfit that we're going to wear for our sex scene, and the pictures are used to promote the movie. Like, they're the pictures that go on the back of the box cover. Now they go in all the catalogs that distribute movies and things like that. So I went out and did the pretty girls, and I was fortunate enough to be doing my first sex scene on a bed, which is really rare, and I shot at this big mansion in Malibu that was actually on the beach, and the bedroom that I was having sex in opened up right onto the beach, and it was just really beautiful. And I remember everybody coming to me before the scene, and they were going, "Are you all right? Are you nervous? And can we get you anything? Do you want to sit down? Do you want to go outside? Whatever." And I was like, "No, you guys, I'm cool. I'm all right." I took a lot of time to think about doing a movie before I actually made the decision to do a movie. So by the time I was at that point, I was super comfortable, and I was 100% decided, that yes, this is, I understand the repercussions, and this is what I'm going to do. And I just remember everybody being really concerned, and then stepping in and talking to the director, and he said action, and even today, the same thing happens. I tend to forget about the cameras, because when I do a sex scene, it's my goal. And I think that a lot of girls forget about that, and they kind of get a little preoccupied with where the camera is, and do I look good, and can I arch my back, and what noises should I make. And I just had sex, and that's what I did the very first scene I ever shot, and that's what I try to keep on doing. And after the scene, after it was all over with, everybody was like, "Wow, are you sure you've never done that before?" And I'm like, "What?" I'm like, "What, you mean have sex? Of course I've had sex before." And that was it. And I mean, it was...
Well, you know what kills it for me? A lot of these girls do fake it. You're right. They're so preoccupied with where the camera is and making noises, and it sounds almost fake. And to me, it's kind of like I start laughing when I see that. Very rarely do you see someone like yourself who actually makes it look real, because to you, I guess in your mind, it is real.
mean, here's the deal. I don't want to have to fake it, because to me that's stupid. A guy gets to have sex and he gets to come all over us, you know? And it's only fair. Like, there's proof of a guy having an orgasm in every porn movie that you're going to see. There is no guarantee that the chick is going to get off. But with me, I'm going to try really, really hard. And I've had directors be like, oh, come on, because they'll tell me to move on to the next position, or, okay, we've got enough of this, let's go do something else. And I'm like, 2 minutes, hold on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really important to me. I figure the guy gets to get off, I should too.
Do you get off every scene you do usually, or no?
No, if I said I got off every single sex scene I did, I'd be lying. That being said, I would say more than 70% of the time, I'm actually getting off. But I mean, sometimes you don't have any control over the type of situation that you're in. And what I mean by that is sometimes the day runs really long and you end up doing your sex scene at 3-4 o'clock in the morning. Maybe it's outside. Maybe it's cold. Maybe you're under a rain machine. Maybe you're by the ocean with the cold ocean breeze, and it's just not happening for you.
Gotcha.
And when that happens, I come home and I'm like, you got to do something about this.
Finish me off, you say to your boyfriend. I figured so. Well, Jessica, we're running out of time here. I really want to thank you, because this was a really very enlightening conversation we had with you. And I know you're busy, and I know you're a big star in your industry. And I'm just glad that you took some time out to talk to us.
Yeah, definitely.
Here at RX Muscle.
I just want to thank you guys for actually having great questions and being such good conversationalists, because I'm not that lucky every time.
What's your next movie that you have coming out that people would want to maybe pick up and check it out?
The best movie I've ever done is called Fallen. Some of my latest.
Now your next movie. What's the latest movie that's coming out?
Some of my latest movies are Wicked Games, The Alibi, Tattletale, and 3 Days in June. If Wicked Games is out now, The Alibi comes out in 2 weeks, and the others will be out within the next month or two. You can see more of me at wicked.com, jessicadrake.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/TheJessicaDrake.
A true businesswoman. Thank you, Jessica. Say hello to Barry
Thank
Burnett
you.
For me, and hopefully
I'm going to.
Keep us updated.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, Jessica.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was the one and only Jessica Drake. John. A lot of people don't realize how famous she is in the porn industry. You're lucky to get her.
Honestly, I have no idea how famous she is, but I'm going to go home now and research this.
I looked at a couple of the videos. She's a big wig in the Wicked.
Hot. She's hot as hell. I have to say, looking at her picture here, she is one of the hottest porn stars I have ever laid eyes on.
She makes really good money, John. This girl could buy and sell both of us easily. So
a lot of people could buy and sell both.
But she's
the guy
nice.
Owns the car wash over there.
You know what? She's really cool. She's very cool.
Yeah.
She likes to talk. She's well spoken. You know,
very well.
She's going to make money in this industry for a long time, even after she doesn't do the movies anymore.
A lot of these girls that we find in the body business that are from Texas are just the most personable, nicest, sweetest, coolest people that we ever run across.
Yeah, again, a Texas girl. That's what it is, John.
It must be it, man.
But just, you know, maybe not a porn Texas girl, because, you know.
I could you handle it?
I admitted it. I said it right on the ice. There's no way I could deal with it. It would sound cool for about 2 weeks, and then that's the end of it.
I'm banging them is one thing, but I mean, actually carrying on a relationship, you know, like a full-on committed, you know, relationship. Even after the fact, I mean,
you couldn't do it. It's just too much. Jeff, you think you can handle it?
No way in hell, because exactly what you just said. I mean, it's bragging rights for what, about a week and a half?
Yeah.
I would try to be a porn star if I, you know, like if I had, you know, an issue that I needed to get laid.
How fast do you think Derek would get a restraining order against Derek if he was dating her?
Within the first 30 seconds of the conversation.
Yeah, I would think that.
I'd give him like about a week, and then she'd be getting a restraining order against him without a doubt.
It's interesting though, like the question I tried to ask, you know, like in the future, you know, what do you have to look forward to? There has to be, I mean,
she's going to stay in the industry for the rest of her life.
I know she's going to stay in the industry. She can't stay in the rest of her life unless she dies early.
But she gets old, and then she'll just live off all the money she made.
But at some point, she's going to want to be with, or maybe not her specifically, but porn stars in general, women porn stars in general. They have to know that they've traded in for this ability to be a porn star. They had to know they've traded in a good portion of their possible, possibilities, options.
She's dating someone, though. She's happy, obviously. She likes to live that swinger lifestyle. I think these girls just get to a point where sex is not a big deal anymore, and if you can get a guy that's willing to, let her bang other guys and she lets him bang, other girls, then they got a good agreement.
Yeah, you know what? I've been in an open relationship like that, and shit gets tired. Eventually, and it may be when they're 50 or 60 or 70, who knows, eventually you want to be with one person, you want to be monogamous and settle down.
Well, if they grow old together, then maybe they'll eventually just get tired, like you said, of doing the orgy thing. They'll be fine with each other because there won't be this baggage there that they have as to, oh, you did this many guys and you did this many girls, because they'll be even.
I mean, I've even been in relationships where I've found out things about a girl's past that was just not in a
deal breaker.
Just a deal breaker, and she wasn't even a stripper. I mean, right. Just exploits.
Well, that's why she's very good.
She's gone through.
She said that she's very an open book. Says it all.
That's
so
good.
That you can make an informed decision.
Well, I don't know. I'd have to say that probably the money and the comfort that avails you to down the road is probably a great motivator.
Well, it's a trade. You're compromising something. If you're a very morally convicted person, you wouldn't do that. She obviously is a very open person. She's a free spirit. She doesn't care what people think. And
that's kind of cool.
Those are the people that make good money in the porn industry. And so I hope she's happy. And I'm sure she'll make a lot of money down the road. And maybe she'll own her own, production company.
She probably is right around the corner from this. She's got her own line of toys.
Hopefully she sends us a little box of gifts like she promised.
I'm sure. She does not sound like the kind of person who would renege.
I'll send her our address. Like anyway, we're out of time here. It's a little late. We'll be putting this up a little later tomorrow, which will be on my birthday. I got Jessica Drake for my birthday. Well, not really. We just got an interview with her. But anyway, let's wrap this up, John. I don't know when the next Sex and Muscle. It's kind of like one of these things every 2 to 3 weeks. But I think we keep getting better and better guests. I think that Jessica Drake has to be up on the top of the list, right?
And any of you other porn stars out there listening to us, not the guys, but any of you other hot, lovely porn star ladies that want to be on our show and talk to Dave and John about your career, give us a call.
Well, for now, we're out of time. I'm Dave Palumbo with John Romano for Sex and Muscle Radio. Saying see you next time.
Good night.
Gracias for listening to Sex and Muscle Radio. Tune in next week for more sex and more muscle at the same time. Adios. Y no me jodan.